Today's episode of Sweeten Up Podcast is brought to you by Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe, located at 105 Churchill Road in beautiful downtown Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Uncle Matt's is your neighborhood cafe, but with a worldly view of baking you won't find anywhere else in the area. Stop in to grab a quick coffee or espresso, or meet your friends for long conversation and share any one of their delectable sandwiches, baked goods, or salads. Uncle Matt's atmosphere is casual and cozy, all about convenience. Place your order online and pick it up whenever you have time. You might even run into Uncle Matt himself, the great Matthew Kirshner, one of the nicest guys around and a guest of ours on Season 2, Episode 82 and 83. Take it from me, Uncle Matt's is the real deal, and you might even see me there, enjoying a dirt bomb, a coffee, and my personal favorite, the fried eggplant sandwich, which is absolutely to die for. Check them out today at UncleMattsBakeryAndCafe.com, as well as on Instagram. Just search for Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe. Uncle Matt's Bakery and Cafe, exceptionally simple ingredients made extraordinarily delicious. Experience the best recipe in town. Thank you so much to Uncle Matt's for being our third sponsor of Season 3. Today's episode of Sweeten Up Podcast is brought to you by BD Provisions, a specialty bulk food and coffee roasting shop. The store is owned and run by local Newtowners, John and Cynthia Pacuzzi. John, of course, a guest of ours on Season 1. BD Provisions is located in the Highland Plaza in Newtown, Connecticut, just behind Butcher's Best. If you have not visited yet, I would definitely encourage you check them out. They roast fresh coffee right in the store and carry over 200 delicious items in bulk, from candy, nuts, pasta, from flour to beans, dried fruit, and salty snacks, they have you covered. They also carry some incredible Italian and California olive oils and vinegar. They are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Take it from me, BD Provisions is the real deal, and hey, you might just see me there. Thank you so much to BD Provisions for being the second sponsor of Season 3. Today's episode of Sweeten Up Podcast is brought to you by Andy Sachs and Around Town Real Estate, a family-owned real estate brokerage with all the reach of those other guys, but with a commitment to bring local back to local real estate. Located in my beautiful hometown of Newtown, Connecticut, Around Town Real Estate is the go-to for all of your real estate needs, covering much of Fairfield, New Haven, and Litchfield counties. Give them a call today at 203-200-0851. Again, that's 203-200-0851. Or check them out online at AroundTownRealEstateCT.com. Thank you to Andy Sachs and his team for being our first sponsor of Season 3. And now, let's start the show. Hey everybody, what's going on? I hope everyone is doing well, and welcome back yet again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, Season number 3, episode number 108. As always, I am your host, Jeff Spencer, and thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for multiple seasons, an entire year, or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for listening. However, if you are just listening for the first time, take a look back at our library of 107 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today and you would like to hear more, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is the great and powerful DJ Darth Vader. DJ Darth Vader, known as Brandon Blaine, is an individual who brings the party, the entertainment, and is one of the better-known DJs in the area, always posting up at the hottest places to be around the state of Connecticut. If you've ever experienced Connecticut nightlife, or just have been strolling around the center of any Connecticut town at night, You'll hear music pumping at every corner, and it's very likely one of those DJs is the one and only DJ Darth Vader. I had an awesome and extremely interesting conversation with Brandon, getting to know more about the life of a DJ, celebrities he shared the stage with, how he became a DJ, where you can find him doing his thing, stories of his early days, how the art has evolved, and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, my friend, the man, the myth, the legend, DJ Darth Vader. Joining me on the podcast today via Zoom video conferencing, it is such an honor and a pleasure. He is an individual that plays at many notable areas in the state of Connecticut and beyond. Probably plenty of places that you have visited in the past, notable restaurants, venues, casinos, you name it. He's an individual who I've seen so much on social media, and he's making tremendous waves. And I love what he does, absolutely love what he does. Hailing from Lebanon, Connecticut, today on Sweeten Up Podcast, we have the great and powerful DJ Darth Vader, known, of course, as Brendan Blaine. And thank you so much, Brendan, for coming on the podcast. And how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm good, Jeff, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Great to have you on. Yeah. And we were talking before about where you were from and everything like that, and how I just had a wedding over there and all that good stuff. And kind of over there near the border of Rhode Island and all that. But you're right near the casinos, which is great, because I'm sure it's a great opportunity for you when you get the opportunity to be over there and everything like that. And you're in such a sweet spot in the state of Connecticut, and I've seen you at so many restaurants. But before we dive into everything that you've been doing, let's talk about what you've been doing recently. So recently, what are some things that have been going on in the life of DJ Darth Vader?
Oh, well, you know, just work-wise has been good. You know, this past year, I think my business is kind of, you know, it's not slowing down, that's for sure, which is always a good thing. But, you know, finding the right type of events and the different kind of things that I want to play to kind of balance the work or art versus commerce kind of conundrum that happens within my industry, because you can be a working DJ in, you know, this wherever you are and be successful doing that, but you may not connect with the music that you love, that you're playing, you're forced to play at certain areas, or, you know, that work for certain age groups or those things like that. So, like, you know, in my wiser years now, you know, I'm kind of coveting you know, some certain areas and certain parties and things that I want to do that feel more at ease, more at home, more soul fulfilling than perhaps, like, you know, something that, you know, I would be kind of like run down by doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. No, completely. You want to pick and choose what works for you based on, you know, what you really enjoy playing and what you really enjoy doing. And that's awesome, man. And I know just before we got started, you were talking about how, you know, COVID was such sort of a blessing for you and sort of really helped you get out there. Definitely elaborate on that for those listening.
Yeah, I think, well, it didn't start out. I would say it was a blessing, but also not at not very well at all. It kind of caused some massive depression on my end, because being your first, you know, your first DJ guest, what we had to do, what my livelihood was illegal. You know, we could not have social gatherings. My business is completely, you know, and 100% based on social gatherings.
Right.
Doing either it be a, you know, a 16-year-old's birthday party, a wedding, or, you know, a nightclub, or just a restaurant that has like a cool, funky vibe at nighttime. You know, all of those things, all within a snap of the fingers, it all went away. So that for me was an interesting time. I would say my mental health took like a massive toll. I had, you know, good family and, you know, and good good friends to kind of, you know, help me kind of be where, you know, to kind of right the ship. But then, you know, I had to sit there and eat through, you know, a couple years worth of savings, you know, as, you know, the government wasn't, you know, really helping us, like the unemployment stuff was happening, but like, I'm a small business. Like, I'm, you know, there was like nothing, you know, happening for us. So I really found streaming on the internet on Twitch primarily as it actually didn't start that way. I was starting, you know, on Facebook on my personal page with my wife and my daughter, and we would do like we'd come up with trivia every week for families and different people on Facebook Live to sit and play. We were all stuck inside the house. What else were we going to do? You know what I mean?
So I was like, you did with your daughter, man. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You guys were, you know, rapping to things and dancing. Yeah. Tremendous.
PYT. Yeah. We caught a few views for PYT. That was a lot of fun. singing in the kitchen with spatulas. You know what I mean? Just, you know, just normal life stuff. I happened to turn the camera on that time, but that can happen anywhere around the house at all point in time.
That's awesome.
As the pandemic was kind of not going away, I turned to live streaming and stuff with my family. And then it got to where I was starting to do DJ sets and things of that nature, and on a fairly consistent basis with success. So success came, you know, with kind of like a monetary thing as well, because like people would come and they subscribe to my channel or give subscriptions to my channel for, you know, other people. And then Twitch has its own like monetary system that you can make money on and things of that as well. Now I wouldn't say that like I was lighting the world on fire and we were about ready to go purchase a Mercedes Benz or anything like that. However, it was like the only really sole sense of income that I was able to do while my job was deemed, you know, illegal. So I had to kind of learn how to be a broadcaster and, you know, learn the things that I needed to kind of, you know, do that stuff. I had to kind of, you know, learn how to be a broadcaster. I showed you this earlier, is that I built like a 14-foot green screen wall in my garage.
Yeah.
And I have like I had like a custom PC built so I can like make these cool immersive like environments that like, hey, it looks like he's DJing inside the Max from Saved by the Bell, or yes, you know, he's inside an Etch-a-Sketch and Toy Story toys are like dancing around him and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it was like a lot of fun. And the people that were drawn to me and my community that we built was like, they were there for all of that. You know, it didn't matter as to like, you know, oh, I only like house music, so I'm only going to be here if you play house music. It's like, hey, you know, today we're going to do this. Tomorrow we're going to play rock music. And then, you know, on Mondays we're going to Photoshop, you know, us in like Speedos on a boat playing like Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross and shit like that. You know what I mean? So I didn't ever took myself seriously on there. And like the community that I built 100% held me down, like mentally and monetarily, through that time period. As you know, things are starting, we're starting to kind of like come back to life and real events and things. I've had to kind of take a back seat for that, only because my business has actually been growing, you know, post pandemic. Is I'm busier than I was kind of going into it. So that for me is, it has been, you know, kind of a double-edged sword, because like I know the people that were there for me on that platform will still be there, and the people I met along the way have been amazing, but I just don't have as much time to give it as I once did, you know, because the world is kind of, you know, quote unquote back to normal.
Right. Oh my God. And I'm so glad you said all that, because I am one of those proud individuals who followed you during the pandemic, and that was one of the ways I found you, because so many of my friends were like, you got to check out DJ Darth Vader. You got to check out his Twitch. And it was around the same time that I was Twitching myself with awesome video games and F1. And I love doing the Formula One and streaming my Formula One racing adventures on my PS5 and everything like that. And I found you, and you were one of those people, you know, I chalk you up to like a Mark Rebier. Like, you were keeping people so, wow, you know, so well informed. You were coming in every day. You were like, I got this, I got that. You were just keeping people excited and happy despite everything that was going on in such a dark, difficult time. And I'm one of those people that can proudly say that I listened and followed and was such a fan and loved what you did. And awesome, just being here now, full circle, being able to talk to you for the podcast is great. And that's one of the reasons I found you, because, you know, I saw you on social media. You were on Twitch. You were trying to do your thing despite the difficult times. And I'm so glad I did. And I'm so glad we're chatting, because you're such a cool, down-to-earth guy. And with the Star Wars aspect of it, I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, so I'm sure we're going to geek out on that at some point. But despite the lows, I love those tattoos.
That's a full sleeve over here, bro. Like full sleeve of Star Wars tattoos.
I love it. And I'm so glad you touched on the lows, because sure. I'm sure and the highs of the pandemic. And I'm sure there's so much you want to touch on. But speaking of the lows, let's start at the beginning. Let's start at where it all began for you. You know, where are you from? You know, what was your childhood like? What are some things you could tell us about that? You know, where did you go to school? And sort of where did you decide and where did you think that you'd be where you are today? I mean, was there a point in your life where you're like, I'm going to be a DJ. I'm all about that. You know, I'm going to play music that, you know, people vibe to and people really appreciate, you know, and be that sort of focal point for the fun and the energy. Was it always there or was it something that matriculated? So take me back from where it all started.
All right. So it was raining on a Saturday. Just kidding. So I was born, I want to give my age. I don't know. I was born in the early 80s. Let's just say that.
Nice. That's not old at all.
Yeah.
Man.
I just turned 40. Yeah.
Oh, you're young. 40. Come on. You're young.
Yeah. So I was born in Detroit. So like, I'm not originally from Connecticut.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Detroit.
I was born in Detroit, but I have family in Wisconsin. And when I was born, my mom and my dad were doing radio in Detroit. So that's where the radio life kind of will play a long-running theme kind of as I breeze through my life here.
I am so glad there's a radio background here.
This yeah, awesome. For sure.
I love this.
So my dad has been in radio, still in radio to this day. And he's, you know, moved kind of all over the country. My parents split up kind of at an early age. I think I was like 3. They tried to make it work, but whatever. I didn't always see my dad, on the regular. Cause like we moved, he moved, like it was bad business. And then my mom got married a couple times and, you know, that is also kind of made me kind of move and not be around, not to have that kind of relationship with my dad. And then I always tell people this and it kind of freaks them out or they're kind of like shocked, either from house to house, or like apartment, whatever, like place to sleep to place to sleep in the same town or continent to continent. I've probably moved 40 times in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. I've moved a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I've had a lot of guests on the show that have moved, but not that much. Wow.
Yeah. I like went back and got some, you know, some addresses and stuff from my mom that like I wasn't aware of, but I was still born. And then, you know, the stuff that I can remember. And then, you know, being an adult and I moved, you know, a few different times and whatnot. So, so that also plays into like, I consider Wisconsin home because my grandparents lived at this one place. And actually, I got the coordinates tattooed on my arm.
That is awesome. Yeah,
with my sister. I just went to Vegas recently and my sister came and we both got the same tattoo. We got that matching tattoo of like that's where our grandparents lived, and they were like another set of family for me. Like my grandfather was the guy that like taught me how to tie my shoes, ride my bike, you know, do all that stuff.
Yeah, that's tremendous, man.
Yeah, so like moving back at, and I lived in around kind of the Midwest for a little while. Okay. My mom got remarried from 90 to 95. I lived in Texas. And cause he was in the army, stepdad number one, husband number two. My mom's going to fuck.
Yeah. And when you're in the army, you move a lot.
Yeah. So like we got stationed, we lived in Texas for 5 years. That was during like the, I don't know if it's on fucking Netflix right now. Can I swear? I have a bad.
Yeah. Mouth, yeah. So, you can swear. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's allowed.
You remember the Branch Davidian compound, like the whole Waco, like Texas, like David Koresh, like thing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That happened literally from like 30, 40 minutes from where we used to live. And then like I remember like big Suburbans like boom, like whipping down the highway to go after that when that was happening.
Way.
Yeah, really weird time to live
they
in that.
They just had
area,
a new documentary come out.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I think it's on Netflix. Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that happened.
Minutes from there?
Yeah, we were like right down the street. Yeah, yeah. We were a little ways away from that. But yeah.
What a day. What a day. What a moment right. in time.
Right. Wow. So from 1995 we lived there. Then I moved to Italy and I lived in Italy for 2 years, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. So like we lived off the military had like off base housing. So okay. It was like an area, you know, that they had like kind of purchased land and like built up all these like, you know, these like duplexy homes and stuff like that. And we were living there and I'm going to school there on the army base with other army kids and like doing that stuff. So it was pretty cool. And we're playing baseball in Little League and like traveling to like Germany to go play other army bases kids and like doing that kind of stuff. So I got to like, experience Europe. Like pretty cool, like because I was, you know, often doing a lot of stuff, probably a few things I shouldn't have at a young age, like getting into nightclubs when I'm obviously not of age to do that, and you know, buying cigarettes, buying alcohol, you know, because the American dollar, you know, had was something back then in the early 90s, you know, so I could kind of throw some guys some money and they'll be like, oh, yeah, okay, here. Come in the club, even though you're like 12, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so seeing a nightclub in a party environment at that age with my already love for music was super cool. Because like my sister is a big influence for me when it comes to some of my musical taste back in the day, because what she was listening to, I was listening to, you know what I mean? So like we would kind of do that kind of stuff together. But then also, when I would go back to, you know, back home, once we got back to the States, we moved back to Wisconsin. And I was the kid that had all the music because my dad is a record consultant. So those guys are like the middlemen between record companies and radio. So they're like, this just came out, this just came out, this just came out. Let's play these 12 songs in a row or whatever. Like all of that modern radio shit. Like he's kind of responsible for that. So sorry. you want these 18 jams in a row, like that kind of, that kind of stuff.
Here come the top 10 jams.
Right. Exactly.
Love it.
So I would go and like raid his office closet and be like, give me the Shaggy bombastic single. And like, that's it. You know what I mean? Or like, all of the music, Hanson, Mbop, like just that's it. Like one, you know, like whatever it was, you know, I would go and, you know, he'd be like, yeah, you can in that little area, take whatever you want. So wow. I would be the guy that had, I would be a kid that had the music. So one of my friends, when I moved back to the States in like 96 ish, they asked me like to come DJ their party. So I could say that like my first DJ gig was in like 96, 97, I want to say.
Nice.
However, this is not what you think of of anything that I'm capable of doing today, or was I actually like DJing. This was like the most jankiest setup I've ever had. It was like I had like one portable disc player and like a home 5-disc changer on the other side. And I had like a Radio Shack mixer that I may have like bought and returned.
All right.
And like, Shack. Yeah, for sure. I used to work there. I worked there in high school.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I got stories for days. I've had a lot of weird jobs before I've like settled on, you know, being a DJ.
Honestly, one of my favorite places, Radio Shack, when I was straight up.
I loved it. I loved working there because like I got to learn how to do a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And like I had to learn about everything. You went into there like within the last like 5-10 years, all they ever wanted to do was try to get you to sign up for a cell phone. And if you had like a legit like question about stuff, like they had no idea what was going on. We used to have to read books and pass tests about like conductors and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Damn.
That was like my first party, and like my mom like helped me do it. You know what I mean? It was like, I wasn't mixing and blending records. There was no scratching. There were no turntables, none of that. It was like, you know, you're going to start the CD. You're going to fade in the other song and fade it out. Hopefully it sounds okay. But you know, it was nothing like, you know, you would see like a competent professional DJ doing at all. You know what I mean? So like, that was kind of like my first take of it. And then I put it away and I didn't really do it again until, you know, a few years down the road. My mom met a guy on the AOL chat room. Yeah, that's a true story. Internet love. It's a real thing.
I love it.
Yeah, and he lived in
AOL chat.
Yeah. He lived in Massachusetts. Like, he lived on the North Shore of Boston. And they were talking and hit it off. And I was a freshman in high school. And we went out. She went out there and was like, listen, I'm moving out there. You can come if you want. I was like, okay. Like, I was like, I didn't really know what to do at that point. Cause I was just like, yeah, okay. I'm like, you know, I'm still, you know, you're still my mom, and I'm like in school and stuff. I gotta kind of figure this out. Okay. Yeah. So we jumped over to Massachusetts in 1998. I graduated high school in 2001.
Nice.
We're moving along, because now I've come East Coast and I'm just gonna start coming south. I meet a guy probably in the early 2000s at Radio Shack. I was working there. I remember, it's funny you bring up Radio Shack as I've got a lot of memories from
RIP. I miss from Radio that place. Shack, man. I miss Radio Shack.
One of the things that I remember, like where I was and what I was doing, which a lot of people have, mine is tied into Radio Shack forever, is on the morning of September 11th in 2001, I was opening a Radio Shack store, you know, and I went, and one of the things you do, you go in, you unlock the key, you turn off the alarm, you do all that, but then, you know, you got to turn on the TVs and get, you know, get an image going, so when people come in and want to shop and buy TVs, they can see it. And I just remember turning on the TV and, you know, it's bam, like it's all right there. And I watched, this is kind of morbid, but not really. I watched the second plane hit the tower live on TV, because I thought they were replaying what had already happened, and it was the second one. So that, like, Radio Shack memory is like forever burned in my brain about where you were that day or whatever. I was in Radio Shack opening up the store and when September 11th happened.
Jeez.
Something. Awesome. Yeah. But several things came out of, you know, that as a, you know, that relation, you know, that job as a positive. I met one of my best friends, still to this day, who, you know, also like me, was a little bit of a nerd, you know, love, you know, the electronic side of that. And we began a friendship, and he was a DJ. He still DJs up in Boston. And I went and we ended up, you know, really hitting it off. We ended up working a couple other jobs together. And then we ended up moving in together. And so we had an apartment to where he had his turntable set up and everything. And that's where I was like trying to figure this stuff out. He was using records, and this is pre like digital stuff. So he was using turntables and records. Doing what you would think a DJ would be doing now, because I've progressed that far, you know, right, in my life. I know what a DJ is supposed to do. This guy's doing it, and he's doing it really well. And I ended up kind of back in the day, if you wanted to like learn how to do this stuff, you apprenticed, or you know, you kind of became the guy's assistant and that kind of thing. And it wasn't necessarily something that was on my mind right away. But it was something that I was kind of still drawn to, because I love music and I love old school hip hop, and like doing a lot of, you know, a lot of that stuff together. We had a lot of, you know, mutual things in common. So, you know, spending a lot of time, you know, doing that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
I started carrying record crates for him. Carrying crates, that was like the thing, where you couldn't just bring a laptop into a club. You had to, you know, bring, you know, crates and crates of records. And I would help him load in.
Milk crate.
Set up, yeah, milk crates of stuff. Back crushers. We would do that, and this is like the early 2000s. And then around 2003, 2004, I would say the digital era really came on strong for DJing, is that when a lot of DJs started making the jump to Serato, which is just a software that DJs use. It's like a digital vinyl. It emitted a tone, and it would react with an MP3.
And then the turntables don't have actual records, right? It's just like a, it's just like something you spin and you just,
well, now, yeah. So the back, like when DJing was like first going digital, what would happen was this company had a box that was like an audio interface basically. And it also had these proprietary vinyl records, and you'd put the needle on the record. And what you would hear is just a beep. It's like a tone. It was just a, I can't even do it because I'm a little under the weather. It just would make this tone. And then the computer software would interpret that tone, that if it was, the tone was uninterrupted, the boo, then that record would be playing. You'd hear, this is how we do it. And then you'd hear it. But if the DJ stopped that record and that tone and started manipulating it via, you know, what civilians would call the wiki wikis, you know what I mean? then that MP3 would be involved in that as well. Like that would, you know, the MP3 would be manipulated by what the DJ was doing. And then kind of that digital kind of thing was born. And then there were, you know, controllers that came around that are like complete digital things that have little platters on it that you could turn and manipulate as well. So yeah, that kind of came, you know, a little bit later, but that was, you know, kind of my first inkling of, you know, where DJing was going, and about that. And it wasn't until, so we're like 2004, we're almost there to where I'm actually a DJ and in Connecticut, almost there.
yeah, where are you right now when we're talking?
So like, we're in like,
wise.
Yeah, we're in the, still in the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Okay.
And then I ended up like, I ended up, what's the statute of limitations? I don't want to get myself in trouble. let's just say I filed the workman's comp case because I had a I was dislocating my shoulder quite a bit.
Okay,
and it's from an old mosh pit injury. I'll tell you that I want.
Fun.
Yeah, I once fell out of a mosh pit and hit like the side of a steel, like a column, like a of a building that was like there in the concert hall. So a pole that was there kind of turned and like, you know, Mel Gibson Lethal Weapon, where it's like, listen, bam, like that. It kind of happened.
Well, listen, you're not the only one. The guy who does post-production for this podcast, Kurt Vinci,
yeah.
He was in a mosh pit and he like broke his ankle or his leg or something. And ooh, had to get surgery. Had to get surgery like that day. So
yikes. Old mosh pit injuries, you know, you never know. The game of Plinko that your life can take once you've been in a mosh pit, you know what I mean? Who knows
exactly
where you'll end up. But exactly. So I ended up taking some time off. I had to have surgery and fix it and rehabbed it. And the job I was doing was like, it's really physical. I had to go and travel around to like Lowe's, Home Depot's around the Northeast and like fix stuff at night. And it was a little weird. And that's when my DJ buddy was also doing that as well. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. I went to school for graphic design in Boston. That's kind of like what I wanted to like get. I wanted to finally like get into. So it was around like, I want to say 2000. I don't know, man. I want to say like 5 or 6, 2006-ish.
Where in Boston did you go to school for that?
In downtown Boston. Yeah.
Down. Awesome.
Yeah. It's a college that's like closed now. That's okay. A funny story. It was there's a class action lawsuit against the college for like falsifying their student records and numbers. So my college loans are going to get erased. It's just a matter of time. So like, I'm like, that's cool. I like that.
Cool.
It's never free. I already paid a shit ton of money for it, but you know, every little bit helps. Right.
Exactly.
so I was like, I want to go get, you know, I want to go get a job, you know, in doing designing something. And I started working for what the company is called now is 47. It's the headwear company. So like they do a lot of hats for like Major League Baseball and football. Yeah, CLO 40. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Huge company. Oh. I used to work for them when they were big, but before they really launched with 47, they used to be called Twins Enterprise.
Okay.
And they used to have, they still do, the souvenir store next to Fenway Park and all of that. Yeah. So like I got a job working as like a production artist for them. So whenever you see like, you know, a cool different style of hat for the Yankees or wait, you're a Mets fan for the Mets, I see it in
Let's
the background.
Go Mets, yeah. Baby.
So the artists that make like those, like, we were like talking to China every day because their factory was over there and like doing things like that. So that was a really cool job. And it was something to where like the designers would make like 5 things of artwork and ship it over to the factory. And like they'd kind of be meticulous over what the design is going to look like. This stitching is going to be this team's alternate color and the logo's got to look like this and blah, blah, blah. Whatever that was, right? But that was only done 5 times. And there's 30 major league, 32 or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's 32.
Excuse me. There's 32 NFL teams. There's like 30 major league baseball teams.
Yeah, 30.
There's 300 something college football teams. There's a bunch of NHL teams. And any other sport that like they were like college providing headwear for. Yeah, right.
House
yeah.
Woo.
I hated the old UConn logo, the white dog. Like being a production artist, I hated that thing because it was all like kind of it wasn't very symmetrical. Which it one? Didn't look right. The older UConn logo, not the current one where it has like the husky, like the white one.
Older one with the dog with the tongue.
Yeah, hated that thing. Hated that thing. It was a pain. Yeah, it was a pain.
We might have to work.
I don't mind the logo itself. It was just to work with. It was not easy. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And that was the only thing. I was like, man, I hated that thing. There's a University of Delaware. They too are like, that logo stinks. And like the people that approve it are like super jerks. But anyway.
Gotcha.
So all right. I'm working at this place and I'm making okay money, but I need more. And so I used to wait tables back in the day. Like I said, I had a bunch of jobs, and I'll get back to UConn and Jonathan in a minute.
Please.
So I ended up asking one of my design homies. I'm like, hey, I was like, you work at this, you know, this restaurant down the street after you get out of here. I was like, are they looking to hire anybody? Cause like, I'll take on a second job, go make some money. And then where I was working is probably like an hour from where I was living. This was in like Dedham, Massachusetts. So that's like almost South Shore. Like, you know what I mean? So I'd have to go around Boston and fight that 95, 93 traffic like every day. And it was terrible.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, just, you know, come in, apply, you know, interview, whatever, do your thing. So I'm like, cool. And I did that. I went into this restaurant. And, you know, met with the people, interviewed. They're like, yeah, you come back. Cool. And I started working there as a server just for extra money. Right. And then on my first day of work, I was a little bit late because we were leaving the office, to get over there and whatever. And I was maybe literally 2 minutes behind schedule. And I'm walking down and the woman that I meet there, who is one of the managers there, is my now wife. And, she didn't remember meeting me that day. when we talk about it later, she didn't remember meeting me. Yeah, right. Yeah. She's like, I just remember you were late. I'm like, spoken like a true manager. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're dating and doing that kind of stuff. And then she got an opportunity to come down to Connecticut. And this is like, you know, 2007 ish, I want to say. And it's 2008 is when the Foxwoods opened. The MGM Grand, you remember that? Like when that first opened?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like 2008. She got an opportunity to go work at a really big nightclub that's there at Shrine. And she got an opportunity to be the second in charge. So like that was a cool opportunity for her. And I was working at the hat place, and I was just like, I wasn't going anywhere, just kind of spinning my wheels. They weren't giving me the full-time designer job that I wanted. So I'm just like, let's just go. This is a really great opportunity for you. I'll find work somewhere doing something. I, you know, can go wait tables if I need to. I can go do this. I can go do that, whatever it is. And so she's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go. Like, this sounds like a cool opportunity you shouldn't pass up. And so that's kind of what brought us to Connecticut. We moved to New London. And that was a mistake. sorry, New London. And then we moved to Salem and then we moved to Lebanon. But while we were there at this nightclub, I started hearing like some of the best DJs I've ever heard in my life. Some guys I had met and already known through my friend Chris, who lives up in Boston, and you know, some Boston, New York guys or whatever would come down and I would know who they are. But you know, some of these other guys that I've now since met and developed a lot of friendships with, they were some of the best DJs on the planet. We're talking like DJ AM and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, wow. Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah. I watch AM open the restaurant, and then I watch him and DJ AM and DJ Jazzy Jeff do like a back to back where they were just literally going like back and forth. And it was the most fun I'd seen DJs ever. This was 2008.
Where?
At Shrine in Foxwoods. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I met, you know, every famous DJ under the sun, you know, Steve Aoki before he was doing like the EDM thing, and he was just being a normal DJ.
Huge.
Yeah. And then, you know, we booked LMFAO before Party Rock Anthem came out. And they were like, I'm in Ibiza or Miami. Like that was like one of they had some songs, but they didn't have hits yet.
Yeah.
And so that was like, it was cool to. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm in Miami, trick. So like that was a cool opportunity for me to see music and how it's going and how it's and how DJs are kind of forming their sets and how they're playing, you know, music to a crowd and whatnot. And it became to me that I would in my head. I would be going, you know what I would do next? I'd play this. You know what I would do next? I'd play that. And then it just kept happening over and over again. So what I was doing in my brain was figuring out programming of how to put sets of songs together that made sense, a story that was being told through, you know, different genres or different tempos in that situation, kind of already racking my musically filled brain with other things to play and other things to do along with that. You know what I mean? So that was something where I was like, maybe I can do this.
Right.
And that I was like, I may not ever be on the level of DJ AM and, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff and stuff. But that's okay. But you know, the idea, the core concept of what, you know, music, you know, playing the music that works to a crowd or whatever, and doing that, I was like, I really want to try this out. I really want to, you know, dip my hand in it and see, you know, see what I can come up with. So I told my friend Chris, who's the DJ I used to live with, I said, listen, man, I was like, I think I'm gonna get into DJing with like the emphasis of like, you know, being serious and like making it a career, like, you know, going for it. He's just like, all right, man. He's like, cool. He's like, you know what you should do? He's like, listen, he's like, you're funny as hell. He's like, you're a little bit of a nerd. And he's like, you like Star Wars. Here's your name. He goes, Darth Vader. And I'm like,
oh, okay. He really said that to you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So he gave me my name, which was in the day, back in the day, pre-social media. That was the thing that you did. Wow. Like you got your name from the guy you come up under, like your mentor or whatever. Like you got your name from that. Yeah, you didn't pick it out. It was given to you.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. So
even
like
better.
That.
Even better, man.
Yeah. Damn. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, Darth Vader. Yeah. All right. Cool. I got, you know, I like Star Wars. You know, it's like
such a great name.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of shit for it over the years, to be honest.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I got
right?
I mean, yes. I got told back in the day. It was funny because it's like a full circle kind of story. Is it back in the day? I was trying to work into some of the clubs in downtown Hartford when that was still a thing, which isn't anymore. Right. But I got told from a friend of mine, another DJ friend of mine, that a promoter said that he wouldn't book me for those shows because my name was Darth Vader. And it was a joke, and he couldn't take me seriously, and so on and so forth. So I was like, well, fuck that guy. I'm going to make it on my own, and we'll see where we go. Cut to, like, you know, you know, I want to say, you know, oh God, when did the newer Star Wars come out?
It's not like you're saying you're Darth Vader, though. You're saying right. Vader.
Right. But it's still a pun. It's still, you know what I mean? It's
I think it's tremendous. And I don't understand why people can't get with that. Like it's,
yeah, it's cool. Like the, because the come up, like the comeuppance for me, like the funny thing for me is that, this guy, years down the road, once like Star Wars started becoming real fucking popular again, he then and like May the 4th became a thing. So like on May 4th, you know throw a party or do things or whatever you want to have, a you know, slutty Jedi fucking party or whatever you want to do at the club, you know, something stupid like with not lightsabers, Java, but they're like those little LED wands or whatever, Java, whatever
scene, whatever it
takes. Right. Whatever you can do to make a buck, right? So fast forward, you know, I'm now in the game a while, and he wants to throw a May the 4th party, and he wants DJ Darth Vader to come and play it. I said to this man with no remorse, sorry, bro, I'm booked. Kick rocks.
Yep.
And that was it. I've not worked for that guy ever since. He's not even in the business anymore. It was just like a fun thing. It's like a fun full circle moment. It's like, oh, you're gonna try and play me, you know, and then, you know, you want something from me, you know, later on down the line. Mm-mm, that's not happening.
No, totally agree. I mean, you have to stand your ground. You have to know your worth as a business owner, as a person. I can't tell you how many people I'm always saying you have to know your worth. You have to know what you're worth, because at the end of the day, that's a driving factor for everything that you're going to do and everything you're going to be. And
saying no is okay.
Yeah. And saying no is completely fine. And I thank you for saying that, because you're totally right. You're absolutely right. But man, I mean, what can you say? Like, what an awesome rise that you had up to this point. And I know you've done some other things.
Sure.
You did a DJing event with Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure.
That looked really awesome.
Yeah. So I, you know, DJing in the, you know, I've been a resident in Mohegan Sun for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like,
Definitely talk on that first. How did you become a resident at Mohegan?
Just through, you know, word of mouth and, you know, things of that. Anything that I've gotten in my DJ career has either been word of mouth or referrals from other DJs. I would say that pretty much my DJ career started. I was waiting tables at Max Fish in Glastonbury. Shout out to Max Group. And I met I'm going to ramble off some names, and I know know who they are, right?
Okay, yeah.
So at the time, these are all like the sous chefs in the back of the kitchen.
Okay.
Number one is Dave Sudol. If you don't know who Dave Sudol is, you should, because he's one of the brainchild behind the Doro Group and the success of Dorian, and is Treva, Zohara, you know, Aver, like in ABC in Manchester, Doro Marketplace now. They're great. He went in that direction. Eric Stegel is another chef that is the, oh God, what, he's going to kill me, that a Craft Bird. There we go. The food truck that's been all over the state.
Yes, Craft Bird.
Great chicken sandwiches.
No way.
Like that.
That's
100%.
Oh, man, that is
so cool. Eric Stegel was that. Okay. And then my friend John Madonis, who was the longtime chef at Treva in West Hartford. He's gone on and done a bunch of different things. Great chef. But at the time, he left there and went to Barcelona Wine Bar down in New Haven.
Okay.
And so he was down, and there were some DJs at the West Hartford location, the New Haven location, and he put in a good word for me. He said, hey, you know, to the manager, you should, you know, book my friend, you know, like, you know, check him out, you know, have him come do his thing one night. And I did that. I went down to New Haven and I DJed down there, and the manager, I don't think he liked me very much, only because like, I wasn't the vibe that he was looking for. I was ready to like create a party atmosphere. And I feel like he wasn't really on board for that. What's he wanted to keep it cool and different. You know what I mean?
What's your vibe?
I'm able to mutate into whatever the room is. You know what I mean? So like that was my thing, is that like, and one of the reasons why I've been able to stay, you know, in this industry for as long as I have,
relevant,
is
that, yes,
is I'm able to adapt to whatever the room requires. If I need to drop, you know, 75% 90s alternative and classic rock, I can do that, no problem. If I need to play, you know, current hip hop and EDM, I can do that too, not a problem. So like, and everything in between. He gave me kind of like the nod to go and play up in West Hartford. So he said, listen, you did a great job, but that's not really our vibe here. Why don't you go reach out to this guy up in West Hartford, and you know, maybe you can get, you know, maybe you can get in the rotation up there. And I tell you, like, from that referral on, like, the rest is history. The majority of my career stems from that moment. So me waiting tables and Max Fish and Glastonbury, meeting a sous chef, that one guy, John Madonis, who I give him all his flowers. He's probably like the person I owe the most for like my DJ, like my full-time DJ career, because he got me started. Because once I got my foot in the door at Barcelona, I started DJing there. I started DJing at Plan B in Glastonbury. I started DJing, and then it just kept going, growing, and growing. I didn't get, and one of the reasons why I started DJing out there is that there wasn't any work for me to do near where I live, near the casinos, because I didn't know anybody. I was on the outside. So it was years and years later that I started, you know, being able to DJ at the casino, because I networked with other DJs and they're like, oh, hey, you're dope. You know, why don't you come, you know, play a night over here, or come check it out, or whatever. And right. So I would come do that kind of thing. And that's how my brand and, or my, you know, my other DJs knowing that I'm, you know, a stable, good, you know, DJ to have around, you know, that's how that started. So then I was DJing, you know, I was a resident at Patty's and, you know, Mesquamica Beach for a really long time, you know, and the casino as well. There's a club called Mist in the Casino of the Sky that's now closed, back where like Margaritaville used to be, in this off little shoot area. There's this big ass waterfall, a big DJ booth, dancers. It was a great, great time. And that's how I started working there. And then, you know, some other people through word of mouth, when that closed, there's another place that's now open and still called Novelle. And that is, you know, they do some marketing things direct. They're owned by the casino, so they do like some direct marketing with different things. And they have some celebrities come and do some guest hosting and some theater, some, you know, things of that nature. And yeah, Camille Kostick, Gronk's girlfriend, she's a swimsuit model, TV host, dancer, like,
yeah,
all the things now. Yeah. Super awesome person. Her sister, yeah, too. Yeah, I met through working at, you know, in other big nightclubs and throughout my career, I've met a ton of people. And, you know, they can be, you know, they sometimes, people say don't meet your heroes. If you're, you know, you're a fan of hers, she's truly genuine. She's super awesome. She was really nice. And, you know, some of the Gronk boys were too. Yeah, Gronk's brother Gordy was in there partying with us all night too. You know, the Amendolas were there for you former, oh, wow, Patriot fans.
Yeah.
and that nature as well. So like, yeah, it's been a cool thing to like do my thing for other people and to see not famous people, but like to see people that have been outside of Connecticut still appreciate what I do, that may have witnessed it on a much larger scale. Like if you've gone to New York, you've gone to LA, you've gone to, you know, whatever. And like you can, you hear, you know, high caliber DJs, you know, on a regular basis from like those hosting things or whatever. And to tell me that like, oh man, you did like such a good job, we had so much fun or whatever. Like that tells me, you know, that I'm doing, that I'm on the right track, that I'm doing something, you know, worthwhile, you know, for me and to kind of like push myself and keep going. So that was always, those are always like fun to find out when you have people that, you know, that become fans of you for doing what you do, like, which is amazing.
Yeah. No, I couldn't imagine what it would be like. I've met a few people in my life who were big inspirations of mine. And it's so funny what you say, like, people tell you don't meet your heroes, and I did, and they were all tremendous.
Great.
And I'm so glad to hear that you had that experience too. But a couple of things I have for you based on what you said is, one, are you a Patriots fan, or where does your football alliance lie? And my second follow-up question would be, who is the most famous, or maybe not even just famous, but who is a famous person you met who struck you the most and you appreciated their presence the most out of any?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Step one, not a Patriots fan. Not a Giants fan. What I'm about to say is probably going to like make us much better, right? I'm from Wisconsin, and I'm a Green Bay Packer fan for life. Wow. I'm a stockholder. I own stock of the company, which not a lot of people can say, which is pretty cool because they're the only franchise.
My softball team.
Yeah.
Chris Salvatore. Shout out to Chris.
Shout out to Chris Salvatore. Go Pack Go.
But shout out to him. He is a stockholder, and he is a has an ownership in the team. And
love it.
Today, it's so funny. We're getting together today.
Yeah, it is.
The Packers have traded Aaron Rodgers to my Jets. So what a weird occurrence. So tell me how you feel about that.
Great.
That's what he told me. He's like,
yeah, great.
Have him and enjoy not winning a Super Bowl. And I was okay.
Well, I'll come from like a probably like a less hater of a background. I love Aaron Rodgers as an athlete, as a person. I can kind of leave him. But as an athlete, he's done, you know, amazing. I'm a huge football fan, by the way. Okay.
You're a big Green Bay Packer fan.
Oh yeah. Big time. Yeah. Yeah. As an organization, as the Packers organization, hopefully this doesn't like turn everybody off. As a Packers organization, they kind of mishandled him his whole career. Like, and not just him, but like other people like within the organization. I say like they usually make moves 2 and 3 years too late because they should have been, you know, like they gave somebody a contract extension when I was like, dude, they need to get rid of him. Like, they just need to cut him. Or like, they got rid of Mike McCarthy, and I was like, they need to do that, you know, a couple years ago. They needed to draft defense in the draft, and like, they went and drafted like a wide receiver or something when they didn't need to.
No, I totally
they got Jimmy. Yeah. So like, they made the wrong moves for a really long time. That if they were like, so look at some of the teams now that are like going all in on winning. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to do that, but like, they could have put different pieces in place than what they did to be able to win more championships, because on Aaron's arm talent alone, they're in the playoff contention every single year, knocking on the door to the Super Bowl on his game, like, alone. So, yeah. You know, when they have a fluid team of like everybody, like, you know, like it's definitely a team game, even though the quarterback gets a lot of the, you know, a lot of the blame or the reward for winning. Like, I played football. It's a team game. You don't one win, you all win, or you all lose. No, so exactly. The fact that he could go, that if Aaron, my philosophy with him was like, if he wants to go, I wish him nothing but the best. If he wants to stay, I wish him nothing but the best. I'm going to continue to root for the Packers no matter who the quarterback is.
Of course.
But I if Aaron wants to go all in and win with the Jets next year, and if he does that, good for him, because I feel that he deserves it as an athlete. You know what I mean? So like that's for me is like JETS. Let's go. I got friends that are Jets fans. Yeah. You won't see me like right now. Yeah, right, exactly. You won't see me like buying a jersey, or I'm like, I don't think I'll be like rooting for the Jets, but you know, if he does well and they win or whatever, then cool. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a hater like that. I only hate Patriots fans. Like, I'm not a Patriot hater. I'm a Patriots fan hater, because most of them are ignorant AF. And like, you know, I get into beef with them about, you know, Tom Brady and this and that and the whole nine. I was like, oh man, here we go.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not too crazy about the Patriots myself. I mean, I know a bunch of people who are Patriots fans. Sure. One of them is my brother-in-law. So, you know, I always got to keep it on a level. And I know that they do well and mostly do better than us. But hopefully
the times are changing, baby. Well, the Bills are coming up. The Dolphins, like that whole division is on the rise. The Patriots have had their day in the sun. It's time to go.
Hopefully with Aaron Rodgers, the tide will turn. I mean, for the Jets, I mean, who knows? I mean, he's probably only going to be like a year or two guy, but,
if he wins all in this year, you know, maybe that'll, you know, kind of motivate him to go get a couple more before he gets out of there. You know,
it's better than what we had. And it's exciting, and it makes us excited. And of course, that's what the Jets want. They want the tickets, they want the sales, they want all that stuff. And we're probably going to give it to them, especially with everything that's going on right now. So I can't argue with what they're doing because it's smart. It's smart business practices, and hopefully Aaron Rodgers will do something great for us. But what I want to ask you on that second note is, you know, who are some individuals that you got to meet or DJ with or whatever the case may be, that were of some notoriety and some that you just remember and will never forget?
Well, to double down on me being a Patriots hater, I almost got in a fight with Matt Light once, who is who is a historic Patriot, who's gigantic, and his wife was his wife was hammered, and
how big are you for context?
I'm like 6'1".
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'm 6'1", over 200 pounds, you know, so
I'm
6 feet
exactly, and I'm like 250, so.
So like, I'm a bigger dude now than I was, you know, 10 years ago, but I'm 6'1". So like, I got to, you know, when we are opening Shrine, you know, you name it, of like socialite people were there, talking like the Kardashians, like Lindsay Lohan, you know, Peppa from Salt and Pepper. I talked to her. She's really sweet. Some of the guys from Entourage, like I've met before. And then one of the guys, one of the people that stands out to me the most, it's because it was just like really unexpected. Like, I've done different kinds of events with different kinds of, you know, famous people or famous, you know, busy places or things like that nature. I was just DJing at one of my normal spots. This is Barcelona Wine Bar in New Haven. And I was down there playing one night, and off to the corner of my eye,
New Haven.
Down in Barcelona, New Haven. I out of the corner of my eye, I catch someone that I recognize. And I know this person is famous, but it takes me a minute to like, to just put my finger on who it is. And then all of a sudden it hits me. It's Justice Smith. And do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, he's a, like, he did that really cool show on like the kind of like Birth of Hip Hop on Netflix, like the Get Down. He's been in like one of the most recent couple of Jurassic World movies. He was the guy that, was in Pokemon, like he was like the main actor in that. He's done a few other movies as well. Social Advocate, really awesome guy.
Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah,
Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, hell yeah.
And all
the bright places.
Yeah. So done a bunch of cool things. And I just noticed them. He's having just a nice dinner with his boyfriend. And I'm just in like a sexy, kind of fun, really cool, like R&B vibe. So I'm just playing like really cool stuff that's like, it's not, you know, party music at all. It's just a really dope vibe where you're like, it's darkly lit in there. You're drinking wine. Like, you're just, you're laid back. You're like feeling, floating. Feeling sexy no matter who you are, right?
I love that type. I love it.
So he literally gets up out of his seat and walks all the way across the bar to come and talk to me. And he says, listen, he's like, I just want to tell you that, like, I appreciate what you're doing right now. This is amazing. We're having such a good time. And I said, I was like, whoa, shit. I was like, hey, I see you. I respect you and what you do. Thank you so much. And then like, he went back and back to his, you know, back to his boyfriend. They finished their meal and hung out for a little while and were vibing. And they got up and went about their day. And like, that was like just like a cool interaction and a run-in with someone that like was completely unexpected. Like if I go to, like I said, like I go to DJ like certain things, I like if someone comes in or someone famous is there or whatever, like it's not really much of a shock because I'm like, all right, well they're in the casino tonight and they pop in or it's advertised or whatever. But like this was just a chance encounter with someone who I respect their craft, and the fact that he came up out of his way and wasn't just and said something like that it's always kind of resonated with me. It's been pretty cool.
That is awesome, man. That is so cool. And thank you so much for sharing that story. Yeah, I love stories like that. I mean, that is awesome. I mean, the way you told it, I almost felt like I was there. Like that's the stuff I love, man. That's the stuff I love. You know, talk to me about some of the places that you're at right now, because
yeah,
I know we have the mutual friend and friend of the podcast, Chef Adam Greenberg. Yeah. I know you're at Sparrow every so often, but you're at a lot
It's great, isn't it? Do you love
yes.
it?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love it.
I haven't been to Sparrow yet. I've been meaning to get out there. My girlfriend.
Oh yeah, you gotta come.
We're gonna get out there soon.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
I'll have to tell you like when I'm there. That way you can come.
Yes.
You can come and hang out.
Even better. Yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, that's kind of like what we're waiting for. Like we're just gonna wait until it lines up. DJ Darth Vader is there. But yeah, I've been I know Chef Adam Greenberg had just had his newborn son, and just so happy for him, and congratulations again to him and his wonderful wife. I mean, what a great thing they got going on, and I'm so happy for them. And
I watched them fall in love.
Oh, you did?
I watched them fall in love.
Let's talk about that.
Barcelona. He was a chef at Barcelona in West Hartford for a while before he went on and went on to other ventures. He started there, and that's where he met his wife Anna. I watched them fall in love. I've got pictures of them by like an old DJ controller of mine, giving it like the fake like wiki wikis and stuff. And like,
that's awesome.
I actually almost DJed their wedding, but another friend of mine said he would do it for cheaper. so he got booked instead. I've been friends with Adam for a long time. We're coming up on 10, 12, 13, 14 years now.
Isn't he fantastic?
He's a great guy, and everything you think he is, he's even better.
Yeah,
like he's super talented, super down to earth dude. He's a good Jewish boy. loves himself some pickleball. And like he's living his
pickleball. He loves
living his best life. Sparrow is such a cool environment. There's like really cool. There's really cool graffiti on the walls, like Basquiat, like very like New York trendy, like
Peter LaFleur.
Yeah, and Peter Falk, that's right.
Who's a guest of the podcast? Yeah.
Yeah. Really dope stuff going on with that. And then there's a really cool cocktail program from the bar manager there, Michaela, who used to be at Bar Taco and has been kind of like all over the Essex and like a lot of different places around Connecticut as well. And she's landed there. Really cool bar program. They've got great pizza, and then we wanted, and this is like Not a moment of selfishness, I won't say, but I won't not say it, that when we talked about what we wanted Sparrow to be, I really like dug into trying to make things different, because some of the places that you can go and to hear a DJ are all going to play the same thing, no matter where you go. So if there's people that you want to go out bar hopping, or you want to go and to take, go to two or three different places at one night, and all the DJs sound the same or all the vibes feel the same, I don't like that. And like how I approach wanting to do that when I'm brought in to like consult with being entertainment and like doing that kind of thing, I was like a real big proponent for wanting to do like strictly like, let's do just like 90s and 2000s R&B, like sexy vibes, and then like throwback, party fun hip hop. So it felt like, maybe you're at a party in like 2006 and like that's it. So we're not going to be playing, we're not going to be playing Bad Bunny. We're not going to be playing cheesy pop music. We're playing like cool stuff. And everyone gets, you know, it's like a DJ meme to like hate on Bad Bunny. Like I don't hate on Latin music or Bad Bunny or whatever, but like that space specifically, I wanted to be different. And the owners, which Adam is one of, was on board with that. And we've kind of hit the ground running with that. And it's definitely like something different to go out and do. If you go out, you know, consistently or pretty regularly around, you can, you know, find and feel that like, you know, this is something different, and it's different on purpose. So, you know, I butt heads with people about, you know, what to play. And sometimes they cross the line, on being rude to the DJ. And, you know, so, but that spot specifically, was like kind of crafted and curated on purpose. And I love playing there. I try to play there as much as I can.
Look, Chef Adam Greenberg is an OG. He's a real one. He is the best. He is such a wonderful individual, one of the nicest human beings. When he came down and joined me in Danbury for an episode of the podcast, I felt like the luckiest person in the world. I was like, wow, like he came down here. He's so incredibly accomplished with everything he's done in the Food Network.
Yeah, right.
Being an accomplished chef that has owned
Beat Bobby Flay, Shop Grand Champion.
I mean, what else do you need?
Yeah, he's a stellar dude.
Donating to charity, representing his family, representing you know those that mean the most to him.
For sure.
And he's somebody who like all of us can inspire to be. I mean, because he's just such an incredible human being, and with the pickleball and everything like that. And I can't wait to get up there, Sparrow Pizza Bar, up there in West Hartford. So exciting. And you know, you're at other places as well. What are some other spots that you like to frequent? And because I feel like you only do the greatest and the best. Like you're always at the greatest spots. Like I always see you at the best spots, and people are like, "Yo, DJ Darth Vader's here," and like it's just great. So talk to me about that.
So I currently kind of bounce around a lot. So you know, if people want to come, you know, out and see me, you know, following me on like Instagram is probably the best way to do that, at DJ Darth Vader. But like currently I'm DJing at Barcelona Wine Bar, either West Hartford. I guess start there. We want to move like geographically. I do Barcelona Wine Bar in West Hartford, Bar Taco in West Hartford, Sparrow in West Hartford. El Santo is another restaurant that's in West Hartford. We do DJs there. Let's see, where else am I doing? The Place to Be. I don't know if you've met or talked to Gina yet, but she would be a great podcast guest, I bet. She's blowing up.
We hope to have X on soon. X is a X is a friend.
I love X.
Podcast, so we're hoping to have him on soon.
Yeah, X very is my
busy.
Boy.
They're very busy. They're very busy.
Oh yeah, they're opening up another restaurant probably this week, and then like every got day, a couple other
restaurant. Right. Yeah,
yeah. So like I provide the entertainment for three of the Place to Be locations. So the one in Springfield up in the Hall of Fame, in Basketball Hall of Fame.
Wow.
The one in downtown Hartford, and then the one down in New Haven, which is one of their newer ones that they just opened. So yeah, I did that. I do Bears Barbecue. Bears Barbecue is another great place.
Shout Jimmy out to McDonald. Jamie McDonald. Yes.
Yeah. Love big that big guy. Fan of him. Loved him.
He is such an inspirational,
and
just an incredible human being.
And talk about like the vulnerability. Like when he came here, because he's not a Connecticut native.
No.
I think you should actually look him up. Competitive eater.
Yeah. Story. Definitely look up Jamie McDonald.
Owner of Bears Barbecue. Competitive eater, and then he started opening restaurants around Connecticut. And I've been working with him kind of since he got here, since he got into town, when he was doing the pizza restaurant Bears, and then he did the taco restaurant near the downtown Hartford, that didn't end up taking off, but it was a great concept.
And now he's doing World Central Kitchen.
He's doing incredible. A lot of charitable stuff.
Flies all over. He's awesome.
Yeah. So he's on, you know, he's living the life. He's worked really hard, and you know, talk about vulnerability of you know, mental health and things like that. You know, has been very public about, you know, his struggles with alcoholism plus, you know, mental health. And that's somebody that, like, I look up to a lot, and I like him and I talk, you know, fairly infrequently, but when we do, it's always like, it's always super, a super quality conversation. As a father, as a business owner, as someone who struggles with mental illness, you know, mental health, you know, that kind of stuff. It was like, it's always like, it's always a good thing to like chop it up with him when I can, when he's not like going to Fiji and shooting like manatees in the water because he's like crazy into outdoor wildlife and
crazy
stuff.
Things.
That's yeah, awesome. Really good, really good dude. So
awesome.
Yeah, I can't not support a guy like that. So there's one of his locations. I DJ down there at the one in New Haven. There's one there. I DJ for the Farmington Polo Club when they do their live events and their schedule for matches. I am usually, or somebody that works for me is the, you know, the in-game kind of pre-game warm-up of the when you get to the polo field during the, you know, the breaks and halftime and post-game. You know, I'm usually, you know, kicking some jams out in the polo field, which is pretty cool. And awesome. Red 36 down in Mystic, that's another one of the places.
36. Yeah, shout out to Mystic, love Mystic.
Mystic's great. It's like it's booming.
Engine room.
Yeah, engine room's good. Showing bone. Like there's tons of good stuff out that way.
Oh, yeah.
And I do their kind of Sunday. We do a Sunday party from like Memorial Day to Labor Day. I don't know if I'm missing a few. I don't think so. But then then other DJs hit me up to come play at places that they work at or that they are control the schedule at too, because they know I do a good job, or, you know, they reciprocate. I book them, they book me, you know, that kind of, you know, situation as well. So that's a mutually beneficial thing that's kind of come about.
You have a company. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about some of the things you do with that. What could you say to those listening who maybe want to be a DJ and maybe want to join your ranks?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. It started out of necessity, I'll tell you, because, again, I got pushback from, you know, having the name DJ Darth Vader. So it was like, I had a few people reach out to me to DJ the most important day of their lives, you know, their weddings and that kind of situation. And, you know, more than once you'd people hear say, they're like, who's you having DJing your wedding? They're like, DJ Darth Vader. And they're like, who? What? You know, the name would just kind of hit their ears in a different way, you know?
Luke, so I am your father.
That's yeah. So it became clear to me at that point that, like, listen, I was like, I can be Darth Vader when I'm doing bars or, you know, nightclubs or this or that or whatever. If, you know, I need to put on a more quote unquote professional face, you know, to appease the masses, I can do that. Initially,
I'm Brandon.
That's right. Yeah. So then, you know, I'm Brandon and I was DJing and stuff. So I came, my last name is Blaine, and I came up with Blaine Entertainment as the answer to the haters that were like, oh, why, what is this? You know, like, what is Darth Vader? Like, you know what I mean? So I created that out of necessity. I always hated it because I didn't want to use it because it felt, it's not that I'm not like ashamed of my name or anything. I just didn't feel attached to it. It was because of necessity. And so I kind of worked that out for a few years. And then, you know, I would say most recently within the last, I want to say five or six years, I've since rebranded, like Blaine Entertainment no longer exists. And I created a company called Society of Sounds.
Nice.
So that was something that came to me, and it was that thing that I was like instantly in love with. I was like, this is the one. Cause like Blaine Entertainment to me wasn't it. I knew it wasn't it from the beginning, right. And I just kind of fell into it because I needed it. Society of Sounds was going to be it for me. Like it was exactly what I wanted. And so I came up, it kind of started as a conversation to where, like, you know, if a bar was, you know, in need of a DJ, or they need a rescue, or somebody called out or whatever, or the place was like tanking because they had bad DJs and they needed to change it up and bring in good DJs in there, they would fire up an SOS and we would come save their ship. So that's where Society of Sounds came from, SOS. And even in my logo, you can see, if you're paying attention to it, you can see it. It's dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. That little hidden little Easter egg is in my logo for SOS. And that's where, like, that's where that became kind of, it was born from that, you know, coming in and either saving the day, to kind of put it, you know, kind of in a certain context, but, you know, I'm not a first responder or anything like that. You know?
Right.
But yeah. And to, you know, create some kind of, you know, cohesive kind of thing to write the ship. And that's kind of where, you know, kind of where I see, you know, with what I'm doing now. And that's kind of where I, through word of mouth, referral, and everything else of, you know, the story we've been telling this whole time, you know, lands us to that where, you know, a place would want me to DJ there all the time. And I would say, thank you, but no, I can't. I don't want to stay in one place all the time. I want to be able to go out and play different avenues of music, play different venues, play different things, do different things as well. So I can't DJ for you all the time. But here's what I can do. You can go and give me your DJ schedule and I will put myself there when I'm, you know, like I usually say I can be there once a month, which is probably about what places get out of me between all the different spots I do, plus, you know, private events or other stuff as well. So I said, listen, I can probably DJ here once a month. I said, but when I'm not here, I said, I can provide you with, you know, with a steady structure, professional group of DJs to kind of follow my lead and, you know, and keep the, you know, keep whatever format you want to set or vibe you want to hit or what you want to do. We can do that. And I'll do that. I'll create the schedule for you. If you want to pay them this much, you pay them me this much. And I would, you know, kind of like a booking agent, you know, would kind of do. And that's kind of where, you know, where a good chunk of my business is, you know, gone and come from within the last, you know, I would say 5 or 6 years is doing that. Is that, like, I book myself, you know, and the homies and other DJs that I'm not as close with. But I know that, like, they're either vetted from other DJs or I've heard them DJ or that, I've heard them, you know, playing out or they get referred to me from another DJ I trust. So, what you asked for that second kind of part of that question is, if there are DJs out there that are listening, hit me up on social media, slide in them DMs, you know, and let me know that you have. There's DJs that do that and I can respond to them. And there's some DJs that, you know, I've yet to respond because I'll go and look and I'll see that, like, their gear is not yet to a professional level because maybe they're just starting out and that kind of thing, you know, and, you know, a lot of things, like life with a lot of things, you know, there's a, you know, an expectation of what is, you know, professional or what is, you know, like in my line of work. So if I don't see that in your, like your social media presence, or if I'm seeing you're taking pictures with some of your gear and I feel it's kind of like not quite there on a pro level, that, right. You know, I may be like, you know, hey, you know, like, I don't think I have anything, you know, at this moment right then in time, but, you know, please come back, you know, and try again or whatever. I'm usually, you know, pretty open to trying to let people in to my circle if they want to be. The issue, you know, usually stems with, you know, younger folks, younger DJs or newer guys that are coming up that think they just want to be thrown into the best spots
right
off the get-go. And yeah. I won't do that because you're not only putting, you know, like my, you know, livelihood or business in, you know, potential jeopardy, but, you know, the other guys that trust me to look out for them too, you know, that work for me, you know, for them to kind of continue our success and to continue to grow. So yeah, I'm all about, like, If you want to come pull up on me at a gig and, you know, want to talk my ear off, that's probably not a good idea. But, you know, if you tell me that, you know, you want to come DJ or you want to learn or whatever, yeah. I've trained a DJ two in my day. And, you know, I've helped, I've helped some people launch some careers. So, you know, I'm definitely like not of the old, like old hat where I'm just like, no, just like, you know, go do it on TikTok or whatever. Like if you want to come work for me, I can always use a hand.
That's awesome. That is awesome. DJ Darth Vader. And, you know, I got two more things before we wrap up. And thank you so much. It's crazy how just about 2 hours worth of conversation can go, man.
Flying by, man.
I'm having a blast with you. And this Thanks. Is so Me too. Great. And this is a conversation that was a long time coming. I wanted to have you on for so long. And I'm so glad it was able to work out.
Man.
And one of the questions I have before the second question is, where can the folks find you? Where can the fine people here that we've been conversating along with, where can they find you? Where can they find your works? Where can they interact with everything that you got going on?
Yeah, I think a lot through all the most of social media, you can find me at DJ Darth Vader. And that's, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, you know, you name it, it's there. Like you can probably find me there.
Awesome. And that's not Vader.
No, not that's Vader with a V. Vader. It's Vader with an F. Yeah.
F-A-D-E-R.
Right.
Those out there.
Which like it's Vader. I've been in this game, you know, a long time. I've been DJing professionally since 2010. And people still put Darth Vader on flyers sometimes where I have to kind of be like, that's not me. That's it. That's not me. That's
hilarious. And then so one more thing before we go.
Yeah.
And it's a question I've been asking my guests since the beginning of time. I've asked it since season one, and we're in season three. And that question is, when you're in New Haven, in or around New Haven, of course, Connecticut has the best pizza, of New Haven being the top prize
sure.
in the state of Connecticut. And so when you're in New Haven, what is your favorite spot? I know everyone's like Sally's, Pepe's, Bar. Modern, you know, you name it, people love it. So what's your favorite when you're in New Haven? What are some favorite pizza places around where you live? And just what are some of your favorite restaurants in general?
Yeah.
Let us know. What's up?
Oh, yes. Let's do this. I love food. First and foremost,
I love food too.
I think as far as New Haven pizza goes, I don't mind any of it. I am just not a huge fan of Pepe's.
Okay.
I had a bad experience at like the one that they had at the casino where it was really burnt and super oily. And I just don't think it was right. And just kind of turned me off from really wanting to like further explore that. I've DJed and ate at Bar. I've gone to Sally's Modern. Like I've done that whole tour. And I'll tell you, it's not, no offense to the New Haven loving pizza people. I'll take some pizza elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite pizza places is called E&D Pizza out of Avon.
Avon, yes.
Yeah, the owner is Mike. He's won awards.
Yes.
Like, he knows what the hell he's doing.
Pizza competition many times. Yes.
Long time friend of mine, Mike Andro is his name. He used to be a bartender at the Olive Bar in Unionville years and years and years ago. And he has two sons, Enzo and Dario, and like that's where the name comes from. He has the his crust and his flat, like this dough is just, it's amazing. So if you're in that area, Avon area, Simsbury, like whatever, like take the fucking trip to go eat at E&D. Even this dessert pizza with like Nutella and fresh berries and shit on it's super good.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, it's super
Greenberg
good.
Was like, get over to E&D on the
yes, podcast. I'm telling you.
And it's interesting because one of his sons is Dario, and one of my buddies just named his newborn son Dario. So very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Kid plays hockey and like travels around all over the place. It was a super talented family.
I gotta get out there. E&D.
Love Mike. E&D.
Connecticut.
Yeah. Okay. And Zephyr's Street Pizza in West Hartford is also
Dante.
Another one. Yeah, Dante does great things in that little area that he has of West Hartford.
Legend. Dante's
we just did an event on 420. there was a
contest. How'd it go?
Yeah, it was great. We had about like six or seven people show up and try to eat the two large pizzas in under 10 minutes.
How'd it
and
go?
One guy just came and decimated everyone. Like it was just, I don't know where.
Really?
I don't know where he came from. No one knows who he is. So it's not like.
What was the time?
His he He ate two full large size pizzas with about a minute and 40 seconds to spare.
With 10 minutes?
Yeah, about 10 minutes. Yeah, he ate two full size large pizzas with like room to spare with like a minute and 40 seconds, I want to say. It was pretty wild to see.
Out of nowhere?
No, out of nowhere. No one knows who he is. No one knows who he is. No, yeah. He got his Dante gave away a free pizza for a year and he took the award and bounced. It was a cool night, but yeah, it was wild.
This guy, did he have like a
no, it was nothing. He was just like a local dude that was fucking hungry. His name was Joe. He's a big dude. He came and fucking crushed two pizzas and then went away. It was amazing. And then some of the guys that were like still
sorry, I
guess. No, yeah, some of the guys that were still on the board,
I just showed up and just
he handled two pizzas like well. The other guys were like looking down, and some of them just kind of like they gave up. They're like, I'm not fucking catching that guy. Like it was a sight to see. Oh, for sure. Yeah, but his stuff is great. Like and Adam's Sparrow pizza is great as well. It's just they're all different kinds. Like the Sparrow pizza is more, I want to say, I don't know if it's the right term, but like it's more like a cracker pizza. So it's like got that thinner crust, but he's got
bar pizza.
Yeah. So it's like he's got, you know, oh, dude, they have this like carnitas pizza that has like pickled onions on it, and it's got this like avocado crema, and like it's pork, and like wow, it's just super good. And like I said, so like those are my three go to's. For pizza, I want E&D, I want Zephyr's, or I want Sparrow. You know what I mean? And I've eaten stuff all over, but those are my top favorite as far as pizza goes. And two of them are, you know, they're all homies. So I would I like to support my friends.
What are some restaurants you like?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite, and my daughter too, her favorite restaurant to go to is Mecha.
Yes. So good.
Yeah, ramen and pho. Yeah.
Hoping to have them on their podcast soon.
Yeah, they're great. They are very socially active and very socially aware. So yep. I like you know, anything I can do with them. We actually did a collaboration, which is just shows that like my business is so tied into the restaurant industry. I did a collaboration with them where it was Bear's Barbecue and like all their smoked meats and stuff like that into bowls of ramen and pho. And like they did like this dope mashup where like they went to two different restaurants. Once they went to Bear's in New Haven, and once they did, they went up to one in West Hartford, and they did like a mashup menu together. And it was like the craziest shit I've ever seen. And it was like so good. I ate the crap out of like everything.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So I would say, that's like one of my favorite, like that's one of my favorite restaurants to go to because I love, I love the ramen. My daughter does too. She like slurps it, loves it. So that's an easy win for us. That's probably one of my favorites. I also love Zohara in West Hartford. Zohara is great. It's like Mediterranean. So it's got, you know, it's got the eggplant puree and the whipped feta and like, and all that stuff. It's just like super top notch. West Hartford's restaurants are like some of the best ever. Like I've eaten all over the country, and I grew up real fucking poor. And so like, I love me some Kraft macaroni and cheese, but I'm such a foodie now that I can't, that I won't have a bad meal more than once. And you know, there's, you know, you can't go wrong with some of those places. I love Plan B's burgers. They have really great burgers, garlic mayo. That's a win to put on there.
Oh yeah.
There's a, you know, few different locations throughout Connecticut and beyond to go and do that as well. Yeah, those are like some of my standouts. Pollo Guapo is another good one. I don't know if you've had them.
No,
like
a not yet.
Yeah. So there's one in Glastonbury. There's one in Hartford. There's one in Weathersfield, I want to say. Like it's very kind of in the middle. Yeah,
I gotta get up there. I'm here.
Yeah. County. Wait. What we need to do is you just need to come. We'll come hang out and like we'll just like eat until we like fall over. Let's yeah. Like it. I'll take you on a fader tour of like my favorite spots and we'll go and eat.
That sounds incredible.
We puke and then we'll eat some more.
I'll have to bring like a video crew out to like join us or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be dope. Yeah, I think those are like some of my favorite places to go. What about you? What can you recommend something for me that maybe I
mean, I always recommend Good Old Days Pizza because it's Matt Stanzak over here and well, I'm in Brookfield, Connecticut, but
that's a little ways for me to get all the way over there just for pizza. You know, it's like 2 hours.
Well, it's not in Brookfield. It borders me. It's in Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay.
Pizza. I talk about it at every podcast. I'm sure the people who are listening are sick of hearing about it. All I talk about.
Here he goes again.
But Matt Stanzak is great. We've been good friends for a few years now, and everything he's doing over there is tremendous. And the pizzas are really top notch. And Chef Adam Greenberg is a big fan. He's been by pretty often.
Awesome.
And it's a big industry place. And so just a great spot. They do a lot of great pizzas. They have a square pie, and it's a combination between a Detroit, a Sicilian, and a grandma. It's like the best of all those worlds put into one. I actually had some leftovers today. They have a French onion pie based off French onion soup.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds interesting.
Put some bacon on it, everything like that. And they have a bunch of other staples. They have a great red pie, just a standard old, bar style red pie, very thin. And that's kind of their thing. But there's a lot of other great places over here. Mariposa and Danbury is great. Another great spot where you can get certain Mexican food and, quesadillas and nachos and amazing cocktails and, birria ramen and, birria tacos and burrito, so many great things. There's a lot of great places over here that I can recommend. I could go on and on and on, but I love your recommendations. And I love you, man. You
thanks.
Incredible things. You're a great dude. You're raising an incredible daughter. You're doing incredible things in your own life. And I'm so thankful that you could come and give me some free time today on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. I'm super excited with everything you got going on. And I'm so glad you got to share it. And I can't wait to see you soon. I know that pretty soon I'm going to be jumping around and vibing out to the music you're playing. And I appreciate you so much to keeping us entertained now that we're hopefully through the worst of what was going on during the COVID-19 pandemic. And listen, thank you so much. I hope to have you again on the podcast.
Anytime.
Thank you so much for letting us know where we can find you and everything like that. And DJ Darth Vader, it's always a pleasure. You always have a space here on the Sweet Enough Podcast. And thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, the wonderful DJ Darth Vader, aka Brandon Blaine. Thank you so much, Brandon, for coming on the show. I had an absolute blast getting to know how you started and the journey you are on today. Cannot wait to come out and catch you tearing down the house soon. Onward and upward, my friend. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Luzzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Pasticretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. We have two more episodes left to go in season 3, and we cannot wait to share those with you. You never know who will join Sweeten Up Podcast next, so stay tuned. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all. Peace.